Would you please pray with me? Holy God, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. We pray that your Spirit would illumine your word for us, would speak to our hearts exactly where we are, and that in all these things you might receive all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. I've been thinking about revivals recently. Renewal movements throughout history. Jason, you just wrote a book, right? I got to read it. Recommend buying Jason's book about renewals. But I love studying these movements throughout history where the Spirit of God is poured out upon a people in a place and just transforms lives, transforms communities, starts movements. We've seen that God does this throughout history. We saw a few months ago, God did this at Asbury, just down the road from us. And I suppose it was the Asbury outpouring that kind of got me thinking and asking the Lord to do it again. Why not here? Why not among us? Why should the Lord not start something here? I think we should pray for it. I think we should be asking for it. I think we should be making ourselves ready for the Spirit to come and to start a movement, to transform us, to transform Versailles, Woodford County. As we celebrate Pentecost today and this outpouring of the Spirit that is the lifeblood of the church, I want to ask us to put ourselves in the position of the disciples waiting in Jerusalem. As they were waiting for the Spirit to come. They had met the risen Lord Jesus, who had appeared to them, who had proven himself God and the master of death after his resurrection, who had before their eyes ascended into heaven to take up his throne. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. So they waited, not knowing exactly what was coming or when, but trusting in the good promise of Jesus. They were together every day in prayer, fasting with anticipation for the fulfillment of this promise of Jesus. So I want to put ourselves in their shoes for this moment. I want to reflect on this posture of waiting and what it asks of us. Because I believe God is planting the seeds of renewal. I believe that God does want to bring revival into our midst. And why not here? So how can we make ourselves ready? As we ask the Lord to come and send his Spirit in power, as we wait upon him as the disciples in Jerusalem did, I want to do everything I can to make myself ready for the Spirit to come. I want to cultivate a posture for renewal. And I want to emphasize that posture because here's the principle that we can't force the Holy Spirit to come. We can't force God to bring revival on our timelines or on our terms. It's not something we can manufacture on our own strength. Not something we can plan for. We're not going to be able to manipulate the Holy Spirit into doing what we want. A while ago, I saw here in Versailles a sign that said, revival meeting this Thursday night at 7 p.m. And I was like, that's fine. I know there's a tradition of like camp meetings and revival meetings, but part of me was like, well, how do you plan for that? Like, how do you schedule that? The Holy Spirit's going to show up at 7 p.m. on Thursday night at this place, so make sure you're there. We can't force the Spirit to bring revival, but what we can do is posture ourselves to receive it. You know, I'm not a sailor, but I'm going to take a risk and use a sailing metaphor. If you want to catch the wind, you need to have the right materials for your boat. You need to have a strong fabric for your sail. You need to have a solid mast. You need to have the appropriate rigging to move the system in order to catch the wind when it comes at you. And you can have the nicest sailboat ever made, but if there's no wind, you're not going very far. But when that wind does come, you want to be in a place where you're ready to catch it. When you've got what you need to catch the wind to propel you forward. A posture of readiness to facilitate all that the Spirit wants to do in us. So like the disciples waiting in Jerusalem, we want to posture ourselves and make ourselves ready for the winds of the Spirit to come. It's not that the Holy Spirit's going to come once we get these things right, but that we might be ready and in a position to receive Him when He does. So I want to share with you something I feel like God's put on my heart, three postures of renewal for us. Three ways that we can put ourselves in a place to receive the Spirit. The call for us is to be holy, to be humble, and to be hungry. Holy, humble, and hungry. We are called to be holy and to develop a posture of holiness of heart and life. And I want to think about holiness in that set apartness. That's the real meaning of that term. Holy, to be holy means to be set apart for something, consecrated for a special use. So God made the Sabbath day holy. He set it apart. It's the seventh day. Israel was told to consecrate themselves before meeting the Lord at Mount Sinai. Before Israel crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, Joshua told the people this in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. He said, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Set yourself apart, make yourself holy unto the Lord, for tomorrow the Lord is going to work His wonders. Not that we are going to work wonders, not that we are going to force it, but we're going to make ourselves ready. Consecration is a preparation for receiving the miraculous wonders of God. So when we talk about being holy, we talked several weeks ago about two dimensions of holiness, right? There's a moral dimension, that which the Spirit Himself works in us, making us holy from the inside out. And there's the social dimension, the set apartness that we are able to cultivate. And so I want to think about what is it we set ourselves apart for? What is it we devote ourselves toward? What are you set apart for? Are you set apart for the Lord? Or are you set apart for your career? Are you set apart for your relationships? Are you set apart for your own pleasure or entertainment or satisfaction? The other way of saying this is, what's the driving and animating purpose of your life? What is your life toward? What are you set apart for? We are called to be holy unto the Lord. Not that we save ourselves that way, not that we can do wonders that way, but that we prepare ourselves for God to work miracles, to consecrate ourselves, to make ourselves holy. And are we saying that you have to have all your stuff together, you have to have all your spiritual ducks in a row and be the spiritual giant in order for the Holy Spirit to come? No, that's not what we're saying tonight, today. But it is true that the more you are living your life in alignment with the work of the Spirit and the way of the Spirit, the more that the life of the Spirit is going to be able to fill you and overflow in you. We make ourselves ready. We make ourselves available to the Lord and to His works, that He can transform us from the inside out, that He can come and truly make us holy. Be holy unto the Lord. Be set apart for Him. I think about John Wesley, the great Anglican revivalist, and his club at Oxford that he started when he was a student. They called themselves the Holiness Club. They called themselves a group that was set apart for the Lord to devote themselves to prayer, to works of mercy, to studying Scripture, to accountability with one another in their souls. They were a club that was devoted to holiness and cultivating that among themselves. And it was this wholehearted pursuit of the Lord and His ways that made the way for the Spirit to come and to birth that great renewal of evangelicalism throughout England and throughout the world. We consecrate ourselves. We make ourselves holy and set apart to not let the cares and the distractions of the world choke out our holiness, to choke out our life in the Lord, but that we devote ourselves to Him, that we might see Him work wonders in our midst. Be holy unto the Lord. The second posture is a humble posture. Now let's get right what humble means, what humility is. Humility is not self-denigration. It's not putting yourself down. It's not saying, well, I'm just a loser. I'm just a sinner and a worm. That's not humility. Humility is a proper self-awareness before the Lord. Humility is realizing who is really at the center of the universe. And it's not me. It's not me. It's Jesus Christ whom we seek to glorify together. And then knowing Him, knowing who He really is, and exalting Him as the King of the universe, I can know who I really am in light of Him. It's knowing, it's seeing myself in relation to Him who's at the center of all things. It's exalting Jesus, in other words. A humble posture is one that lifts up Jesus, not puts ourselves down. And so humility is birthed in and matured through worship, through a life of worship that's seeking the glory of Jesus Christ and therefore growing in a knowledge of myself in light of Him. And so this posture of humility then requires a lifestyle of repentance. Because the more I know Jesus, the more I know myself in relation to Him, the more clearly I see the gap that's in between us. And I need to constantly be correcting myself, correcting my life, repenting from my sins and my sinful ways in order to get my life in alignment with Him. A humble posture is a lifestyle of repentance, of daily coming before the Lord in worship, exalting Him and confessing my sinfulness that has offended Him. Repenting of my ways that are not in alignment with His ways. A humble posture always means repentance. And repentance being a beautiful and joyful thing because I am putting myself in alignment with the one who is my life, who is my salvation, who is my greatest joy. One of my favorite revivals throughout history to study is the East African Revival. It's one of the biggest revival movements of the 20th century that no one in the U.S. has ever heard about. But it was a huge movement that started in the 1930s and especially worked its way through the Anglican churches in East Africa, in Rwanda, in Uganda, and Kenya. And so much of the fruit that we're seeing in the Anglican world today, out of GAFCON especially, owes its roots to the East African Revival. One of the remarkable things about this particular revival, which some people say is still going after 90 years, is that it was always marked by confession and repentance and a focus on Jesus the Lord and the work of the cross. All the focus was always on Jesus and the salvation we have through the cross. And one of the key revival leaders in East Africa, Bishop Festo Kivengeri, whom some people call the Billy Graham of Africa. He had a quote that said, "Real revival is Jesus Christ Himself. Real revival is Jesus Christ Himself giving Himself to the church, pouring Himself out. So all of our focus, all of our attention is fixed upon him. This is a humble posture, one that is exalting Jesus in all things. And I think this is one of the most remarkable things about the Asbury outpouring several months ago, that the focus was always only on Jesus, that they had these nationally renowned worship leaders come to them and say, "We're happy to serve, we're ready to do whatever we can to help." And they said, "No thanks." All these nationally renowned preachers would come and say, "I'm happy to serve whatever you need." And they said, "No thanks." The refrain I heard over and over again was that there's no celebrity here but Jesus. There's no one building a platform here except the platform of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And I think that spirit of humility, that authenticity, was what was so alluring to the world. And so shocking that that could really happen. That people would put aside their own pride, would put aside their own desire for a platform, and would only focus on Jesus. It was remarkable. But a humble posture is one that is all about exalting Jesus and realizing it's not actually about you. And we need this posture of humility, because how can renewal, how can revival really take root in a prideful life? How can the Lord of the universe send his Spirit to fill you when you're still convinced it's all about you? That's not how he works. We are called to take on a humble posture, one that's fully dependent and looking to Jesus, bringing our life totally into alignment with him. The third posture is to be hungry. To be hungry for the Lord. What is it we are desiring? What is it that our lives are craving, that we are seeking to satisfy the depths of our souls? What are you hungry for? What are you looking to satisfy your life? What are you looking to fill you up? What's the deep craving of your life? A revival of the Spirit, the renewal of the Spirit that starts personally and then spreads, this will bring to us a deeper intimacy with God, a greater security in our identity in him, a greater knowledge of who we are in him. It will bring a greater outpouring of the spiritual gifts that are for the life of the church and the mission of the church. It will bring a deeper joy that fills you and spreads around you. It will bring a deeper faith that moves mountains, as Jesus said. It will bring the love of God that is poured into our hearts through the Spirit he gives. It will bring lives that are changed, communities that are transformed. Do you want this? Do you hunger for it? And not just wanting the fruit, not just wanting the experience, but wanting God himself. More of him who is the only one who satisfies our souls. "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it," says the Lord in Psalm 81. "With honey from the rock I will satisfy you." All he asks us is to do is receive and to hunger for more of him. Are you hungry for the Lord? Are you asking him for more of himself? Or are you stuffing yourselves with other things? Do you want the feast of his presence? Or are you filling yourself with a bag of Doritos? Something that tastes good in the moment but will not satisfy you. It is fleeting. And it does not satisfy you. God himself is the only one that satisfies us. Do you want the feast of his presence? Ask for it. A posture of hunger is going to look like constant prayer. Constantly, daily asking the Lord to come and to fill us and to give us more of himself. If you're hungry for more of the Lord, for the Spirit to come and renew you and renew this community and this church, be on your knees daily asking the Lord to come, asking the Lord for more of Himself. Are you willing to fast and pray? Are you willing to let this physical hunger train your spiritual hunger to ask the Lord for more of Himself? Are you hungry for Him? Do you want to be hungry for Him? Hunger for the Lord will grow in us humility. It will grow in us a desire for holiness, because we will see that Jesus is all that we need, that He alone can satisfy us, and we want more and more of Him. Holy, humble, hungry. This is the posture we seek as we ask the Lord to come. This is not a formula. It's not a strategy. I'm not saying do these three things and you'll see revival. We are assembling our sailboat ready to catch the wind, because we are utterly dependent on the Spirit of God to change us and to change the world. We cannot do it on our own. Our own strength is not good enough. We in ourselves are not good enough to bring revival, to transform even our own lives, let alone our community. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ can. The Spirit of God can move, can transform, can change the lives of you, your family, your neighborhood, your community, your workplaces, your schools, your neighborhoods, everywhere you are. The Spirit of God can transform us, can bring revival. Do you want it? And maybe you're in a place today where you're thinking, well, I can't do any of those things. I can't be holy or humble or hungry. I can't even get into a place where I can want those things. If that's you, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord for these things. Ask the Lord to make you holy. Ask the Lord to increase in you a desire to be holy. Want the Lord. Ask in Him to increase in you humility, that's a focus on Jesus and not on yourself. Ask him to increase in you a hunger for more of Him. That is a prayer I know God is delighted to answer and delighted to work out in you. But we ask Him for all these things because He is our only hope to bring renewal and revival into our lives, into our community. Our only hope for renewal is that Jesus would send His Spirit to bring this fire of revival into our lives, so we make ourselves ready for Him. Think again about the apostles waiting in Jerusalem before Pentecost. They had received that promise from the Lord: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Do we want that power? Does your spiritual life feel powerless? Jesus promises you power through the Holy Spirit. And as the disciples waited, they prayed in obedience, with expectation. They were praying and fasting together in unity, waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. Their lives were set apart for this. They were holy unto the Lord. Their hearts and minds were fixed on Jesus, their risen Savior. They were humble before Him. And they were praying eagerly, daily, hourly, for the Holy Spirit to come. Hungry. And the Spirit came with a rushing wind and fire, suddenly and without warning, and they were ready. and it changed the world. And so with them, we posture ourselves to be ready, to be holy, humble, and hungry. And then we pray, come Holy Spirit. We are ready for you. Come Holy Spirit and be poured out in our midst. Come Holy Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lead us into all truth. Lead us to yourself. Pour out the gifts that you have for the life of the church and the mission of the church. Pour out the boldness for evangelism in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces and among our friends and family. Pour out the intimacy that with God that we've always heard about but never quite been able to experience for ourselves. Pour out the reality of a faith that can move mountains in us. Pour out the love of God that is your very presence into our hearts, that will set us on fire, that will so orient us toward Jesus that we can see nothing else that will distract us or take us off our course from the narrow way you have set before us. Clothe us with power from on high, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and make us yours. And as Jesus promised, whatever we ask for in his name, he will do it. We ask this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.